Welcome to Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner. I have someone here on the line that you would probably walk right by on the street, but once you hear that smooth baritone voice, I'm sure you're going to recognize this. If you've ever played Five Nights at Freddy's, you're going to know this exotic Butters voice. If you don't play video games, that's fine, because he's also done some work with Virgin Mobile, Walmart, Homewood Suites. There's a list of companies as long as my arm that he's done voiceover work. Of course, I am talking about Andy Field. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, what's up? Exotic Butters, everybody.
Did you ever think that phrase was going to take off like it did?
Man, no way did I think that. And it was, when I was recording the game, it's Five Nights at Freddy's. So I got each night as a separate script as he was kind of building the game. And so that line comes in the fifth night. And so each night of the game has this run. I'm saying all this for the uninitiated listeners. Each night of the game has this running gag where my character, who's the computer guide, auto-corrects whatever it is that you were trying to type to something that's funny. So by the time the fifth night rolled around, I knew this joke was coming. I just didn't know what it was going to be. And I actually had to record that night in a studio with an engineer because I was traveling. And so then he was like, what the heck does that mean? And I had to explain to him the running gag of what had been going on each night. Like on the first night when you type in your name, it auto-corrects to welcome, Eggs Benedict. And so now your name is Eggs Benedict for the rest of the game. So the Exotic Butters is the gift basket that you receive when you really wanted, the cash basket or something better than that. But that's what you got, Exotic Butters. And that's turned into an amazing meme that has just been an incredible thing that's I had no idea it was going to turn into anything like that. There's like 100 remixes of Exotic Butters on YouTube.
Yeah, if you Google it, it's just unbelievable how much stuff pops up for Exotic Butters.
There's a freaking plushy Exotic Butters that you could buy at Hot Topic. Actually, they're not selling it now, but it's like $50 on eBay now. But on occasion, fans will bring that into the convention. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you've got the Butters. I don't even have a Butters because it's so hard to find. Of course, you autograph it, and that's a lot of fun.
I'm waiting for the Funko Pop.
Oh man, it'd be incredible. I wish they would make a pop of my character, but I think in their minds, I personally want to see my character as a pop, but realistically, I think it probably wouldn't sell. Who wants the computer guide?
You would probably be surprised.
Well, the diehards are going to buy anything with the FNAF logo on it. They've got shrines to FNAF in there, but the kids who just like, they're going to get one of their favorite character. They've got Funtime Freddy. The kids like Mr. Hippo a lot nowadays. He's a pretty new one, but he's hilarious. And, they like Foxy and they like Chica. They like the characters that they like. Everybody's got a favorite, but nobody's favorite is Hand Unit, the computer, except for the diehard Andy Field fans. Those are rare.
Let's go back to the beginning, to little Andy Field. What was it you wanted to be when you were growing up? Because I'm pretty sure voice acting wasn't on the list.
No, it wasn't. If I had known it was a thing, or if I'd known it was possible, without moving to LA, maybe it would have been. I wanted to be a stuntman at one point. And, I was a tiny kid. I was way smaller than everybody else in school. You got to remember, I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s. I graduated high school, so I'm kind of old. There was no internet. So if you want to be a stuntman, you went to the library. Well, the library doesn't have any books about stuntmen, so I guess that's out of the question. It's not like your mom is like, oh, you want to be a stuntman? Let's feed that dream, live in Louisiana. We'll just go for the summer one year to L.A. and see what we can learn. No, my parents weren't going to have any of that. And I wanted to be a circus clown at one point. And I did read some books about being a circus clown. That was kind of cool. I didn't know at the time, though, that, to be a circus clown, you've also got to be a carny. you got to join the circus and be a circus person. But luckily, that kind of fell off the radar. And then in high school, I kind of liked the idea of being a fighter pilot or a Navy SEAL. That would have been kind of cool. None of that came to fruition. I didn't even know. By the time I got to college, it took me 7 years to figure out what I wanted to do and graduate college. And I ended up being a teacher. It was my main profession that I've done most of my life.
Yeah, I was reading that. Was it math is one of the degrees?
Well, my degrees are both in elementary education. My graduate degree is in elementary with a focus in mathematics and science for elementary students. And then I got a minor in mathematics. And so I really like math. What happened was I wanted to teach middle school history, and they didn't have an opening. And so I got middle school math and fell in love with math and just got good at it and became a really good math teacher. And then I taught a little bit of science. And then my last 3 years, I got to teach the school's STEM program, science, technology, engineering, and math. And we did 3D printing and 3D modeling and robotics. And man, that was a blast. And then voice acting took over, and teaching was getting in the way of my voiceover career, and I had to quit teaching.
So how did you make that jump from voice acting, from math teacher to voice actor?
Well, I was just slowly but surely. If you meet a full-time voice actor who doesn't live in LA, you know, the video games are fun and sexy and the animations are fun and sexy, but your bread and butter is really stuff that isn't super exciting. So it's a lot of e-learning narrations. It's a lot of corporate video narrations. I recorded something for like a kiosk that's in like a science museum and can't, you know, it's little things like that. And all that's fun and that stuff pays the bills. It's really nice to have, you know, money when you've been a poor teacher your whole life. But eventually you start building up repeat clients that call you, you know, that call you every week or call you every month or I've got one right now that sends me multiple jobs a day. And so you get home from your 9-to-5 job or whatever, you know, the teaching hours are 7-to-3. And then you're killing yourself working till midnight to try to get all that done. And you realize I could probably get more work if I just had an extra 40 hours a week to focus on it. And so you kind of go into entrepreneur mode and you're like, well, I'm working 80 hours a week now, but 40 of them are teaching. If I could have that 40, what could I do? And so you take kind of a small pay cut to make that leap into entrepreneurship. And it's a scary leap, man, because you're your own boss. You know, if you're a teacher, you get a paycheck every month on the first of the month. It doesn't even matter if you're a bad teacher. You're still going to get paid on the first of the month. You could be giving your kids crossword puzzles every day. You're still getting a paycheck on the first of the month. But when you become a full-time self-employed voice actor, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. And so it's a completely different mindset. But I knew I needed to make that jump if I really, really wanted to blow my teaching income out of the water. And I'm well on my way to doing that. So it's fun, man. It's a fun job.
So did you search out how to become a voice actor, or did somebody hear you speaking and say, you know what, I want you for my commercial? Or how did that happen?
No, I'm a good public speaker. I was always a good public speaker when I was in the Army. You know, it was always, hey, will you be the MC for this? And like, I remember in high school, even imitating infomercials, really to get on my English 4 teacher's nerves. My friend Donnie and I in class would be doing things like, you know, well, now how much would you pay? Well, don't answer yet. If you answer today, you'll get a Ginsu knife and a smokeless ashtray. So I kind of always had toyed with it. And, you know, even riding in my car, I would be like, how should this sound? If I were going to say this, how would it sound? And I wasn't really doing character voices. I was just doing, you know, narration or announcing. And one day I was sitting in the kitchen in my house and I was imitating the football stadium announcer where we lived, which was Oxford, Mississippi. So that was Vaught Hemingway Stadium at the University of Mississippi. And I said, that's another first down. And my wife was like, oh my gosh, you should be an announcer guy. And because at that point in our life, we were always looking for side hustles. Because if you're a teacher, you're just poor. You got to have another job. And so I Googled, you know, I don't know, how to become an announcer guy. I kind of Googled a lot of stuff, but I was and found out, and that was in 2013, that in 2013, the technology had advanced enough that you didn't have to move to Los Angeles to do that. And you didn't have to do it on radio because radio doesn't pay well. There's actually a lot of work to be had. And so my first gig and I got on some websites and I started, you know, what are the steps to enter this profession? What is the cost of admission into this thing? What do I have to do? And I got on some sites and started getting some auditions. And my first gig ever was the zombie voices for the video game Contagion. And it didn't pay what it should pay, but it paid. I made a very small amount of money. And it was an hour and a half of recording. I mean, it was tons and tons and tons of zombie sounds, zombies doing different things. And, but I thought to myself, wow, if I could get one of these every few weeks, that's a pretty good side hustle for my teaching income. Then I got, within a month, I got a 17 minute narration on how to fill out IRS form I-9. And, it paid $175. It was 17 minutes long. And it was fantastic. It was a spellbinder. If you listen to it, you'd be like, tell me more about IRS form I-9. I'm just kidding. It was grueling. But $175. I mean, if you're a teacher and you make $175 a month extra, that's tremendous. That's more than you get for earning a graduate degree. You know, you earn a PhD and you don't make an extra $175 a month. And so, and I thought, man, if I get one of these, and that client hired me three different times over the next few months at about that same rate. I think one of them was even more because it was longer. It was like $250. I was like, okay, I think this voiceover thing is going to work. I didn't get another video game for a long time after Contagion. But then Five Nights at Freddy's came along, and man, that has been just a fun addition to my life. It's been a life changer in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's a, that one was really cool.
So what's been your favorite voiceover job?
Well, Five Nights at Freddy's, there's like three answers to that. So my favorite, of course, is Five Nights at Freddy's because one, it's been very lucrative, but two, it's opened me up to the whole Comic-Con world. I had never even been to a Comic-Con. My first Comic-Con was January of 2017. I think El Paso is going to be my number 25 or number 26. So I've been hitting about one a month. And man, what a cool, world that I didn't know anything about. So that's been cool. Five Nights at Freddy's maybe is my favorite just because of what it's done for me. But there's always fun ones that are just like recently I was a wizard in like a little animation, it was actually a film student's senior thesis project. But it was so good, and he had written it so well, and we got on live. We used Zoom, and we got on live with each other and could see each other on the screen. And, man, he was an incredible director. I was like, who taught you to direct? And he's like, the first time I ever directed anybody was 2 hours ago for the other voice actor. I was like, no way. He was so good. And but the character was so deep and so fun, and I was able to really I didn't know voice acting was acting until I became a voice actor. And so I've been learning to act for the past 4 or 5 years and will forevermore be becoming a better actor. But man, I really got to act on that one and dig deep and kind of imagine that I was this wizard who was seeking immortality and had failed so many times before and people had been making fun of me. And I really believed that this time I had it, you know, it was a really cool character. That's a fun one. I do a lot of characters for Chinese video games, and they're all fun just because I can just throw myself into them because who cares? It's a Chinese video game. I could just go hog wild on these characters. But Five Nights at Freddy's, I think, is top in the list still. The hand unit character is a fun character. It's kind of that infomercial voice I had in high school. You know, Scott wants it to be cheerful and infomercially so that when you say horrible things, the humor of it is that you're saying it in a pleasant tone of voice. And that's kind of a neat, he's a really good master of writing humor, but, final answer, Five Nights at Freddy's. That's my favorite.
Is there another voice actor that is kind of like your muse, somebody that you really admire that you'd like to meet?
Yes, and through the Comic Cons, I get to meet some of them sometimes. It's pretty cool. I'm not a fanboy, you know. I'm not gonna, but if I see them in the green room, I go up and say, "Hey, I just want to say hi. I'm also a guest. I'm Andy Field. I'm a voice actor. Not like you. I just, but of course, because I'm a voice actor, I'd be remiss if I didn't come up and shake your hand and say hello." So I got to eat lunch with Billy West at a convention in Louisiana. Billy West is just a giant of voiceover. Got to say hello to Jim Cummings, who I think is the first voice actor that has ever been mentioned in a conversation with the word Oscar. You know, when he did Winnie the Pooh, people were like, wow, Jim Cummings, you know, ought to reconsider, you know, for the Oscar for this one. You know, and I've met Tara Strong and stuff like that. I would like to meet Hank Azaria. I really think he's pretty amazing. you know, he's on The Simpsons and he plays like, I don't know, 50, and I'm not exaggerating, probably 50 characters. He's one of those, when you Google most wealthy voice actors, he's probably worth, you know, $50 million or something like that. So yeah, I think Hank Azaria is probably way up there. And then as far as like narrators, I really would like to meet Mike Rowe, who narrates Dirty Jobs, among many other things. I don't know if you guys know, or no, he narrates Deadliest Catch. He's the on-camera guy for Dirty Jobs. But he is so good at that. It's unbelievable. He's like inhumanly good at narrating.
If you could be part of any franchise, you know, of any genre, what would it be?
Of any franchise of it? Well, of course, because I like money, I would like to do a national national commercial campaign for anyone. I don't care. Walmart, Coors Light, Ford, who cares? But as far as the funness of this job and the things that are really cool, man, I'd really like to be a Disney villain. How cool would that be? You know, the villains are always fun. They're more fun than the heroes. Everybody thinks so. But that would be cool to be in a Disney or a Pixar. You know, the same thing now. That would be pretty awesome. Or really to be any character. That would be pretty amazing.
Huh, that's different. Most people give me Star Wars, so I'm glad you picked something different.
I don't know. Star Wars would be incredible, but it seems like I've got friends who, you know, you'll see their name in Star Wars additional voices. And that's really, if you live in LA and you can get additional voices credits in anything big, like a friend of mine was additional voices in the new Spider-Man cartoon that just came out. Or, you know, if you're in Toy Story or if you're in Star Wars, I think David Sobolov got an additional voice in Star Wars, but it's just additional voices. You know, it's you're just somebody in the background. Maybe you're the guy on the radio. Maybe you're one of the stormtroopers. Maybe, you know, you may have 10 or 20 voices in it, but that's fine. That's cool. It'd be neat to say you're in it, but it would really be fun to be somebody who was really, you know, part of the arc, part of the story there, you know? So, you know, somebody who you had to sit down and dig deep and say, what's this dude's motivation? What's wrong? Why is he so, okay, he's a bad guy. Why is he so bad? What's wrong with him? Who hurt him? You know, where did it all go wrong for this guy? Or was he bad from birth? You know, is he just bred for evil? Those are the fun ones, I think. And so, you know, on that line, you know, it would be cool to, and plus Disney villains are always kind of bizarre. You know, it's, you know, you got Ursula and she's like a sea hag, and it's, you know, you got Scar, he's a lion, you know, those are always cool characters anyway.
Do you have any projects coming up that you're excited about that you can tell us about?
Well, you know, the answer to that's always no with voice acting because we can't.
I know those NDAs are killer.
They are. And the thing is, typically, well, I don't know, sometimes there's a long wait. But I will tell you this, if you're a Five Nights at Freddy's fan and you're not really following all the Five Nights at Freddy's news, they just released the trailer the other day for the new Five Nights at Freddy's game, which is a virtual reality game for PlayStation. So if you can imagine all the jump scares in Five Nights at Freddy's now in VR, that's going to be incredible. And it's called Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted. VR might be in the title somewhere on that. But I will neither confirm nor deny that I'm part of that, because no one, if I was in it, then I couldn't say. And if I wasn't in it, then I wouldn't say. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. But by the time the Comic-Con rolls around, the game may be released. And so, I mean, it looks like it's coming soon. But that's exciting. And then that's about all that is coming up that, whether I'm in it or not, is still is exciting. And everything else that I've got coming up, I can't really say anything about. And it's amazing how many Five Nights at Freddy's fans come to my table at conventions and they don't own the game or they don't play the game. They just watch the YouTubers. And when you talk about the three or four big YouTubers, Markiplier and Jacksepticeye and these guys who play Five Nights at Freddy's, these guys have in the 20, they're 20 something million subscribers. And you know, and they're Five Nights at Freddy's dudes. And I'm just like, holy cow. So, you know, I'm in Paladins. There's 28 million players on Paladins. I don't think there's that many on Five Nights at Freddy's, but Paladins doesn't have stuffed animals and kids' boxer shorts in Walmart. So even though people aren't buying the game, they're huge fans of it. They're buying novels about the game. You know, there's going to be a movie, a Five Nights at Freddy's movie coming up. And so it's, you know, it's this huge franchise that kids don't even buy the game. So it's hilarious. But I do get Paladins fans that come up at the convention too, and you know, they want to talk about Paladins. And on rare occasion, I'll get a Contagion fan. That game's a little bit smaller, but I did have a convention where two guys walked up, and that's like all they did every day after school was get on Contagion and play with each other. And so I was like, okay, that's cool. I've got like a cute little catchphrase that I write in the autograph. You know, if you're a Five Nights at Freddy's fan, obviously I'm going to write Exotic Butters on the autograph. I didn't know what to write for Contagion. I just play all the zombie voices. And so I wrote RAWR. RAWRRRR. And it signed my name. But that was cool too. And then, you know, like for Marvel Avengers Academy, my character's catchphrase is "Come with me if you want to be awesome." So I write "Come with you." You know, that's what I write on the autograph.
Okay, I have one last question for you, and I always say this one to the last. It's our very serious, hard-hitting journalism question that we ask every one of our interviewees.
Okay.
So I'm going to just give it to you straight. Cake or pie?
Ooh, man. That is so hard. Do people just readily commit to one of those?
It's hit or miss. Yeah, some people right off the bat, no hesitation. Other people have to think about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I would eat a big old bowl of sugar. I have a tremendous – I mean, I like anything with sugar in it. Like, my wife is a big fan of these Mexican sweets that aren't super sweet. And I eat those just because they're in front of me, but I would really rather eat something much, much sweeter. Like, I had breakfast with a Mexican friend the other day, and he toned the orange juice down by mixing grapefruit juice in it. And I'm like, man, I need the sweet. Give me straight up orange juice. So, man, cake or pie. I mean, I really like both of those a lot. I'm going to go – I'm assuming we mean really good cake and really good pie, because if the cake's dry or the pie's in it – I think I'm going to go with cake. I think I'm going to settle on cake.
You are in the minority. There's only been a few people pick cake. So,
well, I'm envisioning like a good moist chocolate or coconut cake, or maybe, oh man, a hot donut, which is cake, you know? Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, donuts. I may have to go get one now.
There you have it, guys. If you, you bring him some cake, you might get a free autograph.
But I'm not a big fan of like Walmart cake, you know, it's, but man, there's a good pecan pie is awesome. Coconut pie is awesome. Oh man, you got me drooling over here. I'm like, home pie, pie. No, that's awesome. I think I'm going to go with cake.
All right. We got you down for team cake.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I don't shy away from hard hitting questions. I'm not going to back down. You know, some people might give you a no comment or something like that, but
yeah, non-committal.
I'm down with controversy. I'll commit.
Well, Andy, I want to thank you again for giving us this interview and answering all of our questions. And we're really looking forward to seeing you at El Paso Comic Con.
Man, I am so excited too. I can't wait to be there. We'll see you guys.
Thanks again.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl, in an RPG?